Our next speaker is Dr. Enrique Puget. Enrique is a social and behavioral epidemiologist who has been working in HIV prevention research that focuses on structural and contextual risk factors. He currently directs a project that analyzes the HIV epidemic among IDU users in the U.S. at the National Development and Research Institutes in my home state of New York. Today, he presents results from a study he conducted as part of his dissertation at the Yale School of Public Health. Enrique?
Thank you, Oscar. I hope you're all full of Halloween chocolate and candy, and you're having a good conference. I'm having fun. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Courtney McKnight, Don Desjardins, and Holly Hagen. This study was supported by a NIDA grant to Holly. I'm going to be talking about housing instability and homelessness in relation to acquiring hepatitis C infection among people who inject drugs. I think that bio is from when I did my dissertation talk a couple of years ago. This is not my dissertation. This is actually Courtney McKnight's idea. I have no relationships to disclose. So people who inject drugs can become infected with hepatitis C, the hepatitis C virus, or HCV, by sharing syringes and drug preparation equipment with other drug injectors who are already infected. HCV can cause serious liver disease and even death. Treatment is available, but it's expensive and it's a complex regimen to follow. There's no vaccine currently available. Injecting drugs safely without sharing any equipment can be a challenge for people who are homeless or who have unstable housing. Homeless injection drug users have been found to have higher rates of HCV infection than those in stable housing, but it's unclear if unstable housing increases the risk of HCV transmission. It could also be that people who inject drugs less safely are more likely to both become homeless and become infected. And it's also possible that some people with poor health from HCV-related liver disease can lose their jobs and lose their housing. There have been a few studies so far that have analyzed housing instability and how it affects risk of new HCV infections. So our objectives in this meta-analysis were to assess and compare the risks of acquiring HCV among injection drug users that is associated with current or recent homelessness or unstable housing. And I'll define those terms in a slide or two. This study was part of a parent study called the HCV Synthesis Project, which is a systematic review of the published and unpublished literature on prevalence and incidence of HCV infection and HCV-related epidemiology among drug users. The initial search for the study looked for articles that were published or studies that were conducted between 1989 and 2006. We initially found 2,375 reports that were screened. 628 were eligible for prevalence or incidence studies. Currently, the studies of incidence related to recent homelessness or unstable housing. For this study, we updated the search for the period after 2006. And so these studies represent the period from of studies from 1989 to April 2010. So there have been a few studies after this period that are not included. So we combined studies of homelessness and unstable housing for this analysis. There's a lot of overlap in the definitions, but generally homelessness is defined in the studies as living on the streets or in a shelter by self-report, you know. And unstable housing encompasses living on the street or in a shelter, but also less stable but more permanent housing, like not permanent housing, including single-room occupancy, hotels, jail, hostels, or other hotels. And these are self-reported measures. The time frame for homelessness will range from 3 to 12 months. So the questions in the study would be, in the past 3 months, have you been homeless or unstably housed, or 6 months or 12 months? And we define the new HCV infection as seroincidence, or having a positive HCV antibody blood test after previously having a negative HCV antibody blood test. For the analysis, we conducted random effects meta-analyses, which is a type of meta-analysis calculation that assumes the studies are drawn from populations that differ in important ways that could affect the results. We assessed heterogeneity among the studies using Q and I-square statistics. We assessed publication bias graphically using a funnel plot and using a statistical test called the Eggers test. We assessed effect modification by study characteristics that I'll describe in a minute, and we compared subgroups of studies using Q statistics. We did all this in software called the Comprehensive Meta-Analysis software. So there were 7 non-overlapping studies we identified. They were all published studies. There are no unpublished studies included in this analysis. And they were published between 2001 and 2009. There were 3 from the US, 1 from Canada, and 3 from Europe. The data in the studies were collected between 1994 and 2006. And all the studies used a new HCV infection as indicated by seroconversion. On average, there were about 37 seroconversions per study, and that ranged from 16 to 58 new infections. And the average period of observation of susceptibility was 9.4 months, ranging from 6 to 12 months. We analyzed adjusted effects when they were available, when they were published. 3 out of the 7 studies used adjusted effects under the logic that the studies are adjusting for confounders or other effects that they consider important. The effect estimation methods vary. There's 1 cumulative incidence, 4 incidence density, and 2 survival analyses. So here are some of the basic study characteristics of the 7 studies. You see they range geographically, but only in North America or Europe. There's mostly homelessness that was assessed, or a couple of unstable housing. And you can see the prevalence of HCV in the right column. The prevalence in the group of injection drug users that these participants were selected from, the prevalence of HCV varied a lot. And you logically you consider that's an important determinant of new infections. What is the prevalence among the people, presumably in the injection networks of the people in the study? So here are the main results of the study. On the right, we have what we call a forest plot, and the boxes are proportional to it's roughly proportional to the sample size, but it's really represents the effect and the precision of the effect, or the variance of the confidence interval, little lines of the 95% confidence intervals. And if you go to the next to last row, the pooled effect overall the studies is 1.3. And you see the confidence interval is not quite, it includes 1, it's not quite significant. The Q statistic, which tests the heterogeneity among studies, is not significant. And the I-square is 4%, which is considered low. So overall, we can say that the pooled risk ratio in these studies is 1.3. And heterogeneity wasn't significant. And also, none of the effect modifiers that we tested were significant predictors of the association. So, preliminarily, stable housing may provide a safer setting for injection drug use in regard to HCV transmission. It makes sense because a stable house is a controlled environment that allows for access to storage and access to sterile drug preparation and injection equipment. A place to have clean water, and it's a more controlled environment that may allow for better planning for injection. However, due to the small number of studies, we really have to, I should have put preliminary results in the title, really, because the small number of studies. The small number of studies is a problem both for estimating the overall effect and also for estimating heterogeneity and publication bias. Really, with this number of studies, there's not enough studies to actually adequately test heterogeneity or publication bias or effect modification. So these results should be considered preliminary. In addition, differences in study designs, harm reduction efforts in the different locations, background prevalence, make the studies not entirely comparable. And like most studies of behavioral data, these are self-reported, and that may have biased the results. Preliminarily, stable housing may help in drug injectors avoid infection with HCV. However, it also may stable housing may serve as an indicator for the ability to plan and prepare for injection safely. Or it may indicate the likelihood of being in a network, a slightly safer network, or a network with slightly lower prevalence of HCV. We need further research to confirm the magnitude and the consistency of the association, and to determine whether any other individual or environmental or study characteristics modify the association. So these results are not conclusive. Stable housing helps keep people healthy, and is helping people maintain stable housing is an important public health goal anyway. Reducing HCV transmission may be an additional benefit. Other research on HIV-infected individuals and individuals who use drugs has found that stable and supportive housing can help drug users stop using drugs and can help reduce emergency room visits, help reduce incarceration, and help improve adherence to HIV care, and help improve quality of life for people who use drugs. Research on housing provision for drug users should consider the potential for reduced HCV transmission as an additional benefit. Additionally, for patients who are HCV positive, stable housing may also help them adhere to treatment, which is complex. Thank you very much.
We'll entertain one or two questions for Rika at this point. I'll jump in. Enrique, with respect to economies of scale and the, especially in New York, how much is those social service programs that do provide either temporary housing for ID users, has that had an impact, or is there a possibility of there being further to reflect on with your work?
I could say that housing provision for anybody, including drug users, is something that a lot of service agencies and public health investigators are investigating as a potential public health strategy. You know, housing is traditional a struggle for a lot of reasons, and public health hasn't. I think public health workers have been on the forefront of this struggle for a while now, but I'm not sure that housing provision will ever be a cost-effective intervention for hepatitis C or for any infectious disease on its own, but housing may improve quality of life so that it may be a benefit for many aspects of life that we work in our various fields.